Let's just commit this time before Almighty God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your infinite love, your patience, your mercy, your long suffering with us. Lord, forgive us that we are at times so slow at learning. But Lord, you know what we can take each day, and you are gentle and merciful. And Lord, we now just pray that this word which we're hearing, Father, on prayer, that we may apply this, Lord, we may live this. This may bear fruit for your glory now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, I'd like to continue where we left off last time, if you remember. We're calling our teaching Standing Against the Devil by Prayer. Standing against the devil by prayer. Much of our praying is in the nature of warfare. Whether we are believing the promises of God, whether we are asking God for various things, whatever it would be, often it is a warfare. And we are coming against the powers of darkness that would try to stop our prayers from being answered, because we know they don't want them to be answered. Certainly the enemy doesn't, because when our prayers are answered, it glorifies God. It's a testimony. And people begin to see that that saint, that Christian, God answers their prayers. And it starts to get them thinking. And this is why he attacks like he does, particularly with prayer. Because the Bible says that all things are wrought by prayer. And so this is why we're taking our time with this teaching, so that you can really understand why it is you're attacked at times with regard to your praying. And I think you're going to find that you're no longer going to let him have his way, but we're going to start to do what God shows us and teaches us. And it's simply by yielding to the Spirit and not resisting him will we see a prayer life coming out of us, not only individually, but corporately as an assembly as well. And so last time, we were opening up with regard to prayer, and we're basing this from Ephesians 6. And we started with our first one, confession, and claiming that authority over Satan with our faith and our believing. And this is why we get into the word, we get into the promises of God's word, because this is where we get our faith from, in order to believe, to confess, and to get that boldness and that authority. The Bible tells us that we're to come boldly into the presence of God. You are no good if you are timid or afraid, especially in spiritual warfare, and we will look at that later on. But let's just remind ourselves again from Ephesians 6 and verse 11, which says, put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So that's where they are, but they're in the heavenly places. And they will not be there for much longer when the enemy is finally cast out and the church, the overcomers, is raptured and caught away. The church will be in heavenly places where it should be. We are by faith now in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, but we will be transformed, changed, and the church will be there in that place with Christ. And the enemy and the powers of darkness will be cast to the earth. then the great tribulation will start, and the enemy will come forth with great anger and wrath. And he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. We are living in evil days, in the great falling away. So how much more now should we be in warfare so that we can stand and not fall, like sadly a lot do? Standing therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying always, and so on. So we're basing our teaching from what the apostle says here to this church. And it's all on, it's all recorded if you wish to hear it again. But let's move on with this. Well, secondly, standing against the devil by prayer. Secondly, it is victory through the blood. Victory through the blood of Jesus. And this is absolutely imperative. If you are getting faith from the word of God, which you should be, then your faith will see not only what the blood of Christ has done for you in atoning for your sin and giving you a stand before Almighty God, but we read also how the saints overcame by the blood of the Lamb, how Israel as a nation was released through the blood that was sprinkled upon the post. We see the power in the blood. And this is absolutely vital if you go into spiritual warfare. There are many Christians who really do not have understanding or authority and revelation in this. And this is found in the book of Revelation, Revelation 12 and verse 11, which tells us, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to death. That is how you stand. That is how you overcome. That is how you war against the enemy. You not only have to be covered by the blood of Jesus, but you have to know how to apply the blood of the Lamb in your prayers, in your intercessions, in your warfare. This is absolutely imperative if we're to go any further with our understandings of these teachings. You make this your bold confession. You see, our warfare is only effective to the amount of knowledge and understanding that we have of the blood of Jesus and how this works against temptations, how it works against demonic powers, how we overcome oppression, how we pray for others. A lot of your defeat at times comes because you don't apply the blood of Jesus against oppression or depression, or where the enemy is trying to tempt you or whatever. This is why at times I sing about the blood. I sing those choruses about the blood of Christ because the enemy hates it. Many, many times when we've cast out demons over the years, we've heard those demons shout out at people, I hate the blood of Jesus, because they know they lose hold. And you can only ever cast out demons when you know the power and authority that is in the blood of Christ. That is how I overcame those two guys who are breaking into my house, where they tried to attack me. I confess the blood of Jesus over them. Straight away, it just automatically came out. And that's what blessed me more than anything, that it was there in me. I have been doing my work, my studies, my study in the Word of God, my belief in the blood of Jesus automatically rose up and spoke against those demons in those young men. And this is what it's to do. I always remember one Christian years ago when we were talking about the blood of Jesus. And she said to me, well, what I do with the blood of Jesus, she said, I apply the blood of Jesus, then I run. And I thought, what? That is exactly what the enemy wants. You don't. The blood of Jesus works that you stand your ground. You don't run. And that's the whole point. We just read it back in Ephesians about standing. It says it twice. Those in the army of God don't run away. They stand firm in the faith. And the blood of Jesus will do that, you see. Because demons will always try to oppose you. They will always try to get you to retract or compromise or go back. And when you start applying the blood of Jesus, it gives you that standing, that consecration in Christ. You are applying the blood that was shed at Calvary, the blood that our Heavenly Father received, spotless, pure, holy, no blemish. And it atones for the world. And this is why the enemy and the powers of darkness, they hate it, you see. Sometimes Christians say, well, I don't know what to say. Here you are. It's telling you what to say. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And that's how you overcome. That's how you stand against the devil in prayer. So I really stress this one. If you're really going to understand prayer and spiritual warfare. Well, having looked at that, let's look at the third area of standing against the devil by prayer. Well, thirdly, we command him to depart in Jesus' name. So we have our stand, our faith, in the blood of Christ, and also we command him to depart in the name of Jesus. You see, he's not going to leave if you are timid or too polite. The Bible doesn't present it like that. And I've heard Christians all very timid, very polite when they're trying to address the powers of darkness. There's no authority there. And we're going to show you from the Word why this is so important. Let's start off with something we know very, very well. In Mark 16, verse 17, the Great Commission. Mark 16 and verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. In other words, draw them out. Cast it out. Throw it out. You don't want it. You've no mercy over it. It's like a leech. That's what the Bible says. And they will speak with new tongues and so on. So there is how we approach in dealing with demons. Let's look at another scripture in Luke. Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at scriptures now here to just really let that speak to you, to show you what God says in his word with regard to casting out demons. Luke 4 verses 38-39 of Luke 4. Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. But Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made request of him concerning her. So he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her, and immediately she arose and served them. What did Jesus do with the fever? He rebuked it. Not being polite, he is dealing with the powers of darkness, and he is showing authority. In other words, he was saying, I rebuke this fever, it goes. He spoke the word in authority, and you have to speak that over sickness. You will have to speak it over your own life at times, when the enemy is attacking or attacking us physically. You use that authority with the blood of Jesus. Let's see what it says in Mark. Mark 9 and verse 25. Mark 9 and verse 25. And Jesus saw that the people came running together, and he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more. So Jesus, he comes against this deaf and dumb spirit. It says he rebukes it, so he's firm. There's like an anger against the enemy. And he says, deaf and dumb spirit, I command that you come out and enter him no more. So he's saying, you come out of him and you're not going to go back into him. That's what he's saying. And he commands this. And God says that we can use his name and we can command these spirits to come out in the name of Jesus. We can do this also in our prayer life as well. When we come against the powers, principalities, dominions, don't leave it just to one or two in the assembly in a prayer meeting. You also have the authority as well. If you believe, if you have faith in the blood of Jesus, if you see that this word is the sword of the Spirit, you see. What about Mark chapter 1? Mark chapter 1, verses 23 to 27. Where Jesus casts out unclean spirit. Then they went to Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What are we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. See, demons know who Jesus is. The scribes, Pharisees didn't know, but demons knew. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed. So it convulsed him. It was coming out, reaching, screaming. vomiting, and sometimes demons come out that way. They don't all come out in the same way. This one was unclean, lusting. It was a fleshly one, and that's how it came out. You see, we're showing you that we have to have authority over the powers of darkness, else you don't enter into warfare. Don't do it. Unless you know you have faith in that name, the name of Jesus, and in the blood of Jesus. How about in temptations? Matthew 4 and verse 10. We're just going to let these scriptures speak to us to show us what our prayer life is all about. Matthew 4 and verse 10. And this is where Jesus goes into the wilderness, where he's tempted by the enemy. And in verse 10 it says, "Then Jesus said to him," that's the devil, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." So he wasn't making any friends with him. He said, "Away, go. I've nothing in common with you." And we can see that in our prayer time, we can also come against hindrances. Many times, the enemy hinders our faith, hinders the promises that what we have asked and received of the Lord. Sometimes it requires spiritual warfare if you're believing for something. Sometimes it's a knocking for a season. It's plowing through the powers of darkness for the manifestation to come. We see this in Matthew 16, verses 21 to 23. 21 to 23. "From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offence to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" So he had to rebuke in Peter a hindrance of stopping him from going to the cross. And sometimes in our prayers, we have to come against these hindrances and address them, because it's the enemy that's stopping you from doing the will of God, or stopping blessings coming on their way, you see. Then we know that spirits, demons can work in interference, trying to confuse. And we see this in Acts 16, verses 16 to 18. Acts 16, 16 to 18. And this is where the story is, Paul and Silas, who are imprisoned. And we take it up from verse 16. "Now it happened, as we went to prayer, that a certain slave girl, possessed with the spirit of divination, met us, who brought us masters much profit for fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God, who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that very hour. And when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And then they bring them before the magistrates and so on. And then they're cast into prison. So there, Paul sees an interference. She's meddling. It's getting in the way of ministry. And sometimes we have to take authority on that sort of thing, which is interfering. Again, they're spirits. And notice what he said, he commanded. So it had to. He spoke with authority. You see, the trouble is that there are too many who are afraid. They're afraid because they're not seeing answers to their prayers. A lot of Christians do praying, but they don't really get answers to their prayers, and the enemy uses it. And so you become either lazy or indifferent, or you become inward and you lose that authority. You lose that boldness, that belief, that persistence, that staying with it, which is what the Lord wants, you see. This is how you build up a prayer life. There's an old saying, isn't it, that practice makes perfect. If you want to play the piano well, you practice. It's the law of sowing and reaping. That is how God has designed it in the world and for us. And it's exactly the same with prayer. If you don't bother much with prayer, you're not going to get much back. And you're never going to learn what we're showing here. You'll never really experience and enter into this boldness, this stand that we have with prayer. You see, this is what God wants out of this teaching. He wants to work in you so that you have this stand before him in faith, in confidence, knowing that your prayers go higher than the ceiling. They're going right into the throne room of God where Christ sits at the right hand of the Father. He wants you to know that your prayers are also the prayers of the Holy Spirit, that he's praying through you as well. These are not just mere words. These are what we enter in and experience before God. And no wonder the enemy tries to stop us from what we're seeing and what we're opening up here. This is where he's defeated. We've got to act on our faith. You don't go by feelings. You don't go by what sort of day you've had or somebody's upset me and said the wrong thing. No, we continue to remain faithful in this. What does it say in James chapter 2 and verse 19? James chapter 2 and verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even so, the demons believe and tremble. They're trembling at this teaching. The enemy doesn't like it. And that's why he's trying to stop you. He's trying to hinder you. He's trying to distract you, whatever way he can. Because he knows this is where he is defeated. And it says in verse 20, but do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? And there we are. You have to act your faith. And the demons tremble. Because when you start to act your faith in prayer, applying these principles that we're teaching you here, they're trembling because they're losing hold. They're losing hold over your prayers, intercessions, whether it's for your loved one, your family, your children, your job, what you're believing for, praying for the world, praying for Israel, praying for your government. The state of things that we see today, all of these things you can come against in the name of Jesus and put the enemy to flight. But you have to come boldly. And those who come boldly into the presence of God know their stand. They know the power in the blood of Jesus. And those who know the power in the blood of Jesus are those who truly are born again of the Spirit and not of the flesh. And those who are born of the Spirit see what they war against, not that person, but what is working through that person. Or powers, principalities, when you're praying for governments or nations. These are strong powers that hold these nations, these governments. And we have authority over them in prayer. And then you begin to see how encouraging prayer is. It's not that drudge that the enemy tries to let you think it is. But you are seeing answers to your prayers. You are aware that the Holy Spirit is guiding, he's leading these prayers, these intercessions. You become aware in prayer, I can't do this in the natural. This is the Spirit that's teaching me. This is the unction, the anointing that's taking over. That is what you need in your lives, brothers and sisters, you see. And the enemy is trying to stop you from experiencing that. Because he trembles, as we've just read. You put the enemy to flight. You're dividing, you're weakening his kingdom. This is why we hold back the powers of darkness in the world until the overcomers, the church, is taken away. And then it shows in Revelation, the enemy then comes forth with vengeance. Because no longer those prayers of warfare, intercession, faith in the blood of Jesus is holding that all back. And he thinks by the church being taken, he can now be God of this world and take over. But he can only do it for a season. Because the Lord will come and put down the enemy, put down the army of Armageddon. And he will establish his righteousness upon the earth. And he will rule and reign from Jerusalem. So can you see how important our role as a royal priesthood in our prayers and intercessions that at present is holding back the powers of darkness, the coming of the Antichrist? Why is this so important? Because this is where we make ourselves ready, which the bride does. The bride must make herself ready, and she has to keep the powers of darkness back in order for the Holy Spirit to do that work in us. Because once she's taken, she's gone. He's cast to the earth. And then the Antichrist comes forth to deceive the whole world. Can you now begin to see the bigger picture of prayer and why we pray? And why it is so important in these times that we live now? So as I bring this to an end, we've been talking about today standing against the devil by prayer. The enemy doesn't like this, but we defy him. He has no part in our life. We do what the Lord shows us. And he has equipped us. He has given us everything and more. in which to apply this prayer life he wants from us, to war in the spirit, to come against these powers, principalities. And you will find the Holy Spirit will begin to take over, because that is what he wants. It's as we move to one side, as we get out of the way, that he takes over in and through us.